Well, when we look at the grace of Christ, we have to stop and discuss the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is, individually, we're all saved by grace. Jesus is our Redeemer. He came and He paid a debt that He didn't owe. And by grace, we're saved through faith. And so there's all these individual stories here. You guys are like a collage or like a mosaic, and redeemed, reconciled, all these things. But then we're birthed into the body. The scripture says that we are the foundation and the pillar of truth. God has brought us together as a body. And as we look at Ezra chapter 8, we're going to be seeing how the Lord uses the spirit of this, of the body, for everyone to grow, not just individually, but as a church, as a group of people. And what my prayer is that as we dig into the scripture today, the Lord speaks to us individually, to Richard and to Annie. But yet He speaks to Lighthouse corporately. Amen? And so chapter 8 is kind of like rewind. If we were looking at Genesis chapter 1, we see that the Lord created everything in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. Chapter 2, He rewinds and just goes over the story about Adam and Eve and how He would make man in our image. And it's just kind of just a little rewind to bullet point something. And so we're going to be looking at the story of Ezra, not just the four-month journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, but what it entailed. And so in the first 14 verses, I'm not going to read that because I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth and say all these names and blow it. You know, I was already challenged with Debbie and Betty and tigers and bears, oh my. But what I will tell you is when he decided to go, there were 1,396 men that went along with him. He numbered them. Now you need to remember that they received gold and silver from the king. They also received free offerings to go back for the house of the Lord. They had some other utensils for the house of the Lord. They needed an army to protect them on this four-month journey. And they needed a group of men to help them. There were women and children as well, but he numbers the men here that they would be able to take care of them. And the word goes on to say in verse 15, he says, "Now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there for 3 days, and I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jerob, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam, leaders also for Jerob and for Elnathan, men of understanding." I said I wouldn't embarrass myself with names, and I did. But you would think this was a Hispanic group with all these Elnathans showing up. Verse 17 says, "And I gave them a command for Idu, the chief man at that place of Cassithia, and I told them what they should say to Idu and to his brethren, the Nethinim, at the place of Cassithia, that they should bring us servants for the house of our God. Then, by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Mahila, the son of Levi, the sons of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with his sons, brothers, 18 men, and Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, the son of Merari, and his brothers and their sons, 20 men. Also, the Nethinim, whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinim. All of them were designated by name." Okay, so we're all going to go. You ready? And so we have 1,396 men, women and children, and they just go outside of the city, and Ezra puts the brakes on and says, "Hey, we're going to camp for a few days." Now, we're going to see they'll be there for 12 days. They have supplies to go, but they spend an eighth of their time here at this river waiting on the Lord. And it starts off as they're looking around, "Hey, we don't have any Levites here." Have you ever gotten ready for a journey and you get in the car, everyone's in the car, and you pull out that clipboard and you go, suitcases, check. Coffee pot turned off, check. Children in the car, check. Everyone go to the bathroom. Okay, everybody out. And there's this list that continues to go on, and he realizes, I didn't bring any Levites. Did you bring some Levites? Nobody brought Levites. They needed servants. And so they send for these Levites, and by the good hand of the Lord, they're brought in. We have 38 Levites and 220 Nethinim. Now, the Nethinim, literally translated, it's servants or temple servants. Now, you might remember last week that many people believe these are the descendants of the Gibeonites. Not the termites, but the Gibeonites. As Joshua was coming through, do you remember this group of people came with old holy clothes and stale bread? And they said, oh, we've come a long journey. We've heard of your God, and we want to make a treaty with you. And Joshua was so blown away, he didn't ask the Lord and said, okay, we'll make a treaty with you. We'll make a covenant with you. Well, to find all, they're Gentiles. So if you're sitting here today and you're a supervisor, do your guys volunteer for you? And they say, hey, yeah, I'll go. I love this. I love working for this guy. I'll donate some time. That's the funny thing about church. Everything's volunteer, you know. Hey, we're going to have a potluck. It'd be great if some of the ladies would come in, and I'll get tables set out. So Friday night, I got all the tables out. To find out, I got the wrong size tables out. And so here's my wife and some of the ladies rearranging what I thought I was doing. It was good. Praise God for volunteers. But sometimes, not all the time, sometimes people show up late. You know, have you ever heard of minute rice? Yeah, I love minute rice. I mean, cup of rice, cup of water, 60 seconds in the microwave, and you've got a meal. Or what about lemonade? A can of concentrate, a couple cans of water, and you've got Minute Maid. You've got minute rice, you got Minute Maid. Here we see we have last minute men. Now, these are the guys that, man, they're the last one to put their name on the clipboard. They're the ones that are the last ones to show up. Half the time, they're the first ones to leave. And I'm not talking about anybody here. Settle down. But you know who I'm talking about. And sometimes we can get frustrated. Have you ever had a party for your kids, and you're waiting for those RSVPs, you know, and no one's RSVPing, and I'm going to leave here today and look up really what does RSVP stand for. It's like mind your P's and Q's. But you're calling people, are you coming? Are you coming? And they went out of town. They're camping 3 days, no Levites, and finally these guys come. They weren't part of the original. They weren't part of the 1396. These are the last minute men. Kind of like, all right, I guess I'll go. And I've been there. You know, Monday I went with a group of pastors up to Danville. We spent 25 hours roundtabling and just talking about you guys, about their guys, what the Lord's doing, and maybe even some of our expectations that we have on ourselves or expectations we place on other people. It was just a refreshing time. And I say that to say I really didn't want to go. I was the last guy to sign up. It's my day off. Man, I got to stick around with pastors who've got, you know, they're taller than I am. They've got bigger cars than I do. I mean, everything is just against me. And you know, I had a wonderful time. And we can get frustrated with last-minute men. They're non-committal. They are not reliable. And even Solomon said something about last-minute men. He said, confidence in last-minute men, actually that's unfaithful, but confidence in an unfaithful man is like confidence to a bad tooth. Is that not a great description? Have you ever chomped down on something like, oh, man, ouch. Or maybe someone played a joke. Remember the first time you chewed on a piece of aluminum foil? Who does that anyway, you know? Hey, check this out. Ha, ha, ha. Anyhow, unreliable people are like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint, stepping off the curb and falling down because there's nothing there really to support you. I have found myself angry at times with guys who said they would do something and they don't. And yet Ezra doesn't get angry. Ezra says this is because of the good hand of the Lord. He turns the table on not on who's not there, but who the Lord sent. Amen? I mean, so many times you come to church and it's like, man, where are those one people? They said they were going to be here. And the Lord's going to say, but look at all the faces that are there. Go and love and minister to them. Or you show up at a family reunion and you're looking and that guy didn't show up, but look who did. And Ezra says it's the good hand of the Lord. And it says that they were designated by name. By name, though I can't pronounce them, the Lord knows us by name. I praise God, He knows my name. He knows my fears, He knows my strengths, and He knows the names of these guys that showed up. And then after everyone's finally here, everyone's kind of waiting for the last minute guys to show up. They're getting ready to go. Okay, we're ready to go. And there's this, okay, before we go, let's take a few days and fast and pray. And I can hear some of the guys say, I could have slept in my own bed just down the road, Ezra. But we're here still. And you know, as a body, the word says that when one suffers, we all suffer. But you know what? When one rejoices, God bless you, we all rejoice. And so they all come together. Look at 21 and through 23. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there by the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and for our little ones and for our possessions. I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemies on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God's upon all those for good who seek Him. But His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this. And then we can all say this together. And He answered our prayer. They stopped and said, this is important. This is huge, guys. And we're not going to take a single step until we just humble ourselves and seek His direction. You know, sometimes I'm like, boom, what's the address? Let's get the GPS out. And it's that way. Let's go. But not Ezra. Ezra says, oh no, we're going to get on our knees and we're going to take some time. Put the granola bar down. No beef jerky. We're going to fast. Now, last year, about this time, we did a Daniel fast. Do you remember the Daniel fast? And we just sought the Lord and said, Lord, would you show us the right way for us? And here we see the same thing, wanted the right way. Thursday night, we're in Mark chapter 9. And we see this father bring his son to Jesus. Smart man, brings him to the Lord. And there's a mute spirit in this boy. And the father says, if you can, show compassion on us. If you can. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. If you have faith, all things are possible. And then Jesus, He heals the boy. And then later on that night, the disciples said, hey, Lord, is anyone looking? What? Why couldn't we do it? I mean, we did everything that you did. You said that you gave us authority over spirits. Why couldn't we do it? And do you remember what Jesus said? That kind only comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. But Jesus said before that, if you believe, if you have faith. You know, there's something interesting when you combine prayer and fasting with faith, that there's this power that's just accessible to us. So many times, Trinity, she's got this prayer pat. I mean, can I pray? Yeah, and she says the same 10 words, amen, and she's so proud, and we're proud of her. But sometimes we can do the same thing, can't we? Just a quick old, amen, let's go, guys. It's anointed. Let's go. And Jesus says, would you link together faith behind that? Would you put some power behind? Would you live what you believe? And he links faith with fasting, and he says, now that kind doesn't have a chance over you guys. I want to encourage you guys. You know, we're going to have a Daniel fast again. I don't know when. I'll just probably not on a potluck day. And all God's people said, but we will. Why? Because I want the good hand of the Lord upon you guys. I want to know the right way for us. I don't want to venture out and just saying, okay, here we go. It's up to me. No. It's up to the Lord. We're his kids. He wants to guide us. He wants to bless us. He wants to show us the right way to turn. And what I love about this, it says, and he heard their prayer and he answered it. I love answered prayer. I'm teaching our youth how to journal. And we're going through some parts of scripture and I'm teaching them how to journal. And one thing I want you guys to journal, if you would please, start journaling answered prayer. One of the things I have in my office are thank you notes of someone, hey, we had answered prayer. Thank you for praying. Hey, the Lord did this. Thank you. Because I need to be reminded sometimes that we win. I need to be reminded. Because I tell you what, I'm just like anybody. Sometimes I'm like, man, they don't like me. Man, I feel horrible. I'm in a dark place. I'm in a pinch. And when we look back at the faithfulness of God, oh man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God answers them. And look how he answers them. I love this. Verses 24 through 30. Listen how God answers. It's always different, isn't it? Because I know how he answers my prayer. Okay, you're going to do this, right, Lord? We're going to win. It's going to be just like this. And he has a way of going, no, not really. It's going to give glory to me, and it's going to benefit my people. And you look at answered prayer. It always brings glory to God and edifies the body. Listen to this here in verse 24 through 30. He says, and I separated 12 of the leaders of the priest, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, whatever his name is, and 10 of their brethren. Praise the Lord, they don't name them. And I weighed out to them the silver and the gold and the articles of offering for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. He took 12 guys and he divided these things up, and I weighed into their hand 650 talents of silver. Silver articles weighing 100 talents. 100 talents of gold. 20 gold basins worth 1,000 drachmas. Wow. 1,000 drachmas. 2 vessels of fine polished bronze, precious as gold. And I said to them, you ready? You are holy to the Lord. Guys, you are holy to the Lord. You're sanctified. You're set apart. And then he says, the articles are holy also. And the silver and the gold are freewill offering to the Lord of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel in Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites receive the silver and the gold and the articles by weight to bring them to Jerusalem to the house of our God. So the Lord gave discernment to Ezra. And Ezra said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're taking 12 guys, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to divide them up to these 12 guys. But here's the interesting thing. Do you know who he used? The last minute men. The guys that didn't show up. The unreliable ones. The ones that said, I really don't want to go. It's my day off. Who show up and they're like, I'm going to carry the gold. The most valuable responsibility is given to me. Yeah. You see, God takes us from glory to glory, or literally from glory to greater glory. I thank the Lord I don't make the mistakes I made last year, and I make fewer mistakes than I did the year before. I'm really looking forward to next year. I'll make fewer mistakes next year than I do this year. Because God takes me from glory to glory, and he takes these guys, and he takes them from glory to glory, and they get this beautiful responsibility of carrying the gold. I don't like that. You'd have thought, oh no, don't give it to those guys. Yeah, they're hauling the wood. They showed up late, you get the worst job. And I'm glad the Lord doesn't do that. I mean, you ever finally made it to church? Kind of, I don't know if I should go or not. I feel bad. I haven't been there in 2 years. They probably don't even know me anymore. And you show up and the first person says, hey, where you been? In sin? No! You show up and they say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's lay the fatted calf. Put a ring on that guy's finger. The family's back together. The Lord doesn't just shun us. And he gives us the best. The best that he has to offer. Paul likens the church, the body, as a body. And he says something in 1 Corinthians about how the church being a body with many parts and different functions. I'm so glad that we all have different functions. Today, there might be fried chicken, but you'll have a variety of fried chicken. You know, you're going to have stir-fried chicken, Kentucky fried chicken, Oregon fried chicken, I don't know. But you're going to have some chicken. And then you're going to have people that don't cook at all, but they clean up. Praise the Lord. Man, someone washes the dishes. Someone videotapes. Hello, world. You know? And God does the work. So I'm going to read a little bit out of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, for as the body is one, as many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body's not one member, but many. Then he goes on to say, the foot can't say he's not part of the body because he's not an ear. And the eye can't say he's not part of the body because he's not the mouth. And he kind of goes through that dialogue. And then he goes on to say, for those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, giving greater honor to one part that lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. God bless you. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, so if this is a church, this body here, there are some unpresentable parts. And so, you know, I wear a shirt. You know, my son's an athlete, and he's out lifting weights and running. And he'll go take a shower afterwards and put some running shorts on or something, come out bare chest. And my wife's like, oh, man, would you put something on that chest? I don't want to look at that, that unpresentable part. And so he comes out and puts on a shirt, you know. But like our face, it's no need. And so there's different parts of our body that do different things. And there are people in sometimes the body that we just think, yeah, that person can't do that. What? You want to lead worship? No. You're stacking chairs until I tell you otherwise. But it doesn't work that way. The Lord takes us from glory to glory. I so appreciate that. Whether it's in this body here or whether you're at home, the Lord takes you from glory to glory. What I find great is this Sherebiah, this guy here who was a last-minute man, gets not only to carry the gold, but when we get into Nehemiah next month, he's one of the guys that's standing up with Ezra, reading the law to all of Israel there in Jerusalem. The Lord keeps lifting him up, lifting him up. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what mistakes you may have made or may not have made, what victories or what trials, but you know what? The good hand of the Lord's upon you. He's upon those who seek him. And I want to encourage you to allow him to take you up higher and higher and higher. I love that about my word. I don't have to be identified with my last failure. I don't have to be identified by anything other than by the grace of God. That unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. You see, individually, we're all saved. Individually, we come individually before the Lord, but it can't be just remain individual. It's got to work its way out into the body. And Ezra says, it's the good hand of the Lord that we're even here together. You know, as I'm talking to these guys, and they say, well, how big's your church? And I'll say, it's about under 1,000. And I'm not lying. And then they come on, Pastor Dave, how many do you have? I said, all right, it's under 100. And, you know, and someone will say, and you mean you'll have that many people show up every week to listen to you? And I'll say, no, they're there to hear the word. But I get to be a mouthpiece. I may not be the eye or the foot, but on Sundays I get to be the mouth. I get to be his mouthpiece. I get to share what the Lord has for you. And what he's telling you really is that this is the ecclesia. This is the gathering, the church of the living God. The word says that we're living stones being fitted together for a house of God. That's you. God bless you. You know, I was talking about last week how we had some people over at our house for lunch. You know what? Did anybody invite someone to their house for lunch after I said that? Yeah, don't raise your hand if you did. You know, so this week, you know what? There's no Super Bowl, so there's no excuse. You know, just invite somebody. Or better yet, we're eating here. Why don't you sit by someone that you don't know that well? And we're just looking for visitors. Sit with someone that maybe you wouldn't normally have. I mean, Jesus says it's easy to love those that love you back. Even the tax collectors do the same. Sit with someone that maybe you have nothing in common with. And ask them, so what's the Lord sharing with you this week? And see how the Lord would dialogue through that. We finish this chapter 31 through 36 looking how finally, not mission impossible, but mission accomplished. Look what the Lord does in verses 31 through 36. He says, then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day. The rice is done. Right. That's the minute rice cooking back there. 12 days they were there at the river. Do you see the importance? They spent an eighth of their journey seeking the Lord. It makes me wonder, how much time do I spend seeking the Lord in a particular day? Do I spend an eighth of my day on my face? You know, no condemnation. It's totally encouraging you guys.